Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. We want to read the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 10 to 14. In the New King James Version. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon, and it is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Beryllium and onyx stone are there. And the name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. Know the land of Cush is a very strategic land. And we will talk about the land of Cush one day regarding the transformation of the world, meaning how the systems of the world were built. When Cain left the presence of God and Cain went to that development, the descendants of Cain, one of the land, the interpretation of that land, Cush, is very key there. Let's go on. The name of the 10th river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes towards the east of Syria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. It's a very popular river, we all know. Hallelujah. Second reading, John chapter 7, verse 38 to 39. The gospel according to John chapter 7 verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In our last reading that we are all going to read together, as the custom has been, the book of Psalms, chapter 1, the verse 1 to 3. I don't think we even need to project this. Do we need to project it? Okay, so together, let's go. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. Emphasis the verse 3. Let's go. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers. If you're using a hard copy Bible, underline the word rivers. Rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. It pleased the Lord that we still continue on the subject matter, Art Thou Anointed. We are still on the course of finding out about the concept anointing. By the grace of God, we've been able to go through the first and second layer of this very pursuit, which is concerning the anointing as a sub-series, and another measure, another 1,000, talking about the levels of the anointing as a second series. It pleased the Lord that today we start another sub-series on the same subject matter of the anointing. And this sub-series is called The Streams of the Anointing. After The Streams of the Anointing, we still have some other sub-series such as Catch the Anointing, The Purpose of the Anointing, Stewarding the Anointing, and Corporate Anointing. These four areas is a must-touch area that we're going to look at. But for now, till somewhere that God will permit us, June, I can't tell, we will be dwelling on the concept of the streams of the anointing. Now, I would want to introduce the concept of the streams of the anointing on the title or the message title, A River Went Out of Eden. A river went out of Eden. So today's first message under the streams of anointing is going to be on the concept, a river went out of Eden. As I said, I would have loved to do certain recap and everything, but let me quickly do 1 minute recap. We started the concept of the anointing because we found out that this year, it is in the will of God that we take possessions. We have to possess certain things, and that he has promised us, according to the book of Psalms chapter 2, that we should ask of him and he shall give us the outermost part of the earth for our possessions, and the heaven as our inheritance. In our further findings, we saw that this message was directed to a person called the anointed. So we decided to find out more about the concept of anointing that can put us in that privilege to be people who possess and inherit. Hallelujah. So in that, we look at the matter concerning the anointing. In that dealings, we find out the definition of the anointing and the context by which the anointing can be approached. We looked at two key things called the presence and not the power of God. And we understood that the basic definition of the concept anointing is that the person whom God is with. Now, when we move from there, we came to the point where we found out that there are levels in the anointing because of the principle of time and the purposes of God that we walk in. Hallelujah. So we looked at it in the concept of another level, another measure, another 1,000. And we looked into the various facets of how we can grow or the anointing can manifest itself. Today, we want to look at the streams of anointing. Now, let me start with this. It is in the nature of the Godhead to reveal themselves in types and forms that gives clarity in respect to their personality in the Godhead. Now, when man fell and God decided to relate to man, you know, the Bible said that creation is the revelation of God. Now, if you read the book of Romans chapter 1 from the verse 18-19, when Paul was pronouncing why God would judge man, he said that man has no excuse because the creation of God is a representation of God himself. So God, by all standard, has revealed himself unto man through his nature. So when we are talking about the Godhead, I'm talking about Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Over time and with our relationship with them, in trying to communicate who they are in terms of their personality. Remember, in essence, they are one, but in personality, they are different. So in essence, they are God. They are in full capacity as God. But in personality, means they are in their various functionalities, they are in differences. And we found out in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. That the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, giving distinct personalities to them. So in their personality, when they want to reveal their personalities, they are more interested in speaking to us in types and in forms. And in the Old Testament, it was a very, very common thing. Now, if you look at this concept, let me help you to know. We look at the Father as the Godhead. Some of the forms he do manifest is a judge. So if you study the Bible very well, you find out that both times they call God out a judge. Then that is why we started giving them titles and attributes. Have you heard the word El Shaddai? Have you heard the word El Shaddai? It was a type or a form of the manifestation to God, to a man. Have you heard of El Elyon? Have you heard of El Elyon? Have you heard of Adonai? So this is the type of the Father manifesting himself to humanity. So when humanity comes into contact with this type of the whole of God, which is in the person of the Father, we are able to attribute it to a form or a type. Are we all there? Now, when we take the Son, which is Jesus, we find out that he manifests himself in a form of what? A lion. Have you heard the lion of the tribe of Judah? Oh, church, are you with me? Have you heard of the lion of the tribe of Judah? Have you heard of the sheep that was slain? Have you heard of the Lord? Have you heard of bread? Have you heard of Savior? These are the various manifestations of the Son in terms of type. What about the Holy Spirit? With the Holy Spirit, one of the types, or in Revelation, one of the types that he do reveal himself in scriptures is water and river. Hallelujah. Water and river. Even though in scriptures we can find that the revelation of the Holy Spirit in terms of his personality, we could see the aspect of fire. Remember that when John was speaking about Jesus, he said, he that cometh after me, He shall baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and what? And fire. Speaking about the type of manifestation of the Holy Ghost. In the book of Acts chapter 2, we find out that on the day of Pentecost, he manifested like a rushing mighty wind and a clothing of tongues of what? Fire. But that is not all the revelation to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in his personality do also manifest or show forth himself as a river or water. And this is very relevant to our topic today. As in the matter of a water or a river that flows or a river that moves from what? The garden of what? Eden. Now we continue. So are you with me? So the reason why I'm talking about streams is because there is a type of representation of the Holy Spirit that is seen in the state of what? River or water. Now let's continue. Now in the river in Eden, let's look at something over here. Before the fall of man, Genesis chapter 2 gives us the idea of God's perfect habitable environment on earth. Before man fell, we find out in the book of Genesis chapter 2 that God established a very perfect model of how he can dwell on earth. And this model was called Eden. That is why the definition of Eden, or the simple interpretation of the word Eden, is the presence of God. And this presence of God we are talking about is what? On earth. Now, if you remember very well, last 2 weeks or one of these occasions, I told you that one of the things about these personalities of the Godhead is that they have desires that they express. And one of the desires of the Holy Spirit is that he wants a place of what? Dwelling. So on this earth, one of his desires is a place of what? Dwelling. So the moment we are talking about Eden and we are talking about the presence of God or God dwelling upon earth, now we are looking at the personality of what? The Holy Spirit. Are you all on the same page with me? Now let's take a critical look at Genesis chapter 2. Take me back to Genesis chapter 2 verse 10. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 10, when the presence of God was mentioned, representing the dwelling of God on earth, one thing that was common or one thing that was said about the entire presence and dwelling of God was that a river flow, let's read now, a river went out of what? Eden to water the earth. Are you on the same page? Are you on the same page? The only thing I said about Eden on this earth was that a river flowed from it to water the garden. And you know that Eden, the garden was created in Eden. So Adam was living in a garden in Eden. So Eden is here and the garden was in it. So the Bible said that a river was flowing from Eden to water the garden. Now when it watered the garden, the Bible said it didn't stay over there. It moved along, or it went beyond watering the garden and acted into what? Four river heads. Since we already know that the Godheads love to express themselves in types and forms, and we have looked at some of the expressions of the Godhead, the moment the concept of river is mentioned, what comes into mind? The Holy Spirit. Are you there? So this whole idea that a river flow or was moving from Eden to water the garden, and from the garden flowing in four rivers, we are talking about the Holy Spirit revealing himself in a form of what? River, watering out the garden and going beyond the garden. Can we continue? Yes. And we can establish this on the scripture that we read in the book of John chapter 7 verse 38. It said, out of thy belly shall flow streams of what? Living water. This is speak concerning who? The Holy Spirit. So even though in Genesis the Holy Spirit was not mentioned, if you look into the New Testament in the concept of water or river, we find out that this very act that was happening in the garden before the fall of man was the Holy Spirit at what? At work. Are we there? Now the interesting thing is that when he was flowing, when the Holy Spirit was flowing to water the garden, that is where Adam was dwelling, it only didn't stay there. It went, and the Bible said now from the garden. Watch. The Bible said now from the garden. Let's read the same place. And then it parted and it became, and now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from there, so where did it part? From the garden. Where Adam is. From that place, it uttered into what? Four river heads. Very interesting here. I hope you are following me. So the river didn't part or divide in four rivers at Eden. It divided at where? The garden. And went throughout the whole world. Now, so this very manifestation of the Holy Spirit also brings us back to Ezekiel chapter 47. What's something here? It still gives us an idea of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 to 2, what's something? When Ezekiel saw the water flowing from the temple, the word he used to describe the water was what? A singular word. Let's read it. And he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was what? Water. Watch the water very well. Flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the what? The east. For the front of the temple face east, the water, you see the water, still water, was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of what? The altar. Now move on. Verse 2. What's something? He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate. That faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. Now look at what happened. The change in verse 3. Watch a switch. Now when the water was now running out of the temple, and now Ezekiel will be brought through the water, watch how he described it. And when the man went out of the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the hot. Check together the hot. Didn't you water there? So the Holy Spirit is such a way that in its initial movement or in its initial flow, it is one. But the moment it begins to manifest or it's moving beyond its place, it doesn't go as one. There are streams of the Holy Spirit. And these streams is connected also to the principles of the anointing. Are we there? Now you watch. Now he said, brought me through the waters, came to my ankles. Now move on. You see that all the way to a river. Now you find out that the waters ended up in verse 5 as what? A river. Now verse 4, watch. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me toward again the waters. Now, what was Ezekiel trying to describe over here? Watch. Ezekiel was trying to describe a single source of water, but as he goes through it, the water expands. So the expansiveness of the water expands, calling it now out waters, and did it expand? It expanded in its form, depth, and reach. So the water expanded towards an ankle level. That was a level, different level. Then you move to another level of the water, which is a different form and its rate, which was what? At the knee level. And it moved from another level towards the waist. So these are different dimensions of what? Water. So what Ezekiel was trying to tell us here is that the expansion of this river is no longer a single stream. Now let me give you a typical example here. Have you seen a flood before? If we close, go and watch, and it's not a good thing, but you just try and take a video of how flood is. You see that there is a dimension of water flowing from here, a dimension of water flowing from here, another dimension flowing from here. Then they come together or converge at one place and become deep. Now, the weight of the water at here may not be the same as the weight of the water over here. Do you get it? And the same over here. This is what Ezekiel saw. So the ankle deep was here. The knee deep was here. The waist deep was here. But when they came together, they formed a river you could not swim. So the river you could not swim is not one stream of water that became that river. It is a confluence of water that has come together to meet. It talks about one water flowing from another side, spreading into four things, and then became a river. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Therefore, the concept stream is helping us to understand that river expand through streams and tributaries. What the Holy Spirit, or what we are seeing from these two imagery, is that it's talking about the Holy Spirit go beyond or expand or grow or become effective or manifest beyond one person. So the garden was the place of contact. But the place of impact was more than one, the garden. And when it is going to make impact, it may not go as one source, one flow. It will go in different flows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit do reveal his nature in the form of water or river. But the moment he has to manifest, he comes with more than one expression as a river, bringing to light the concept of what? Stream. Now, what is the definition of a stream? A stream, therefore, is a small river or a body of moving water confined by banks. So the Holy Spirit do reveal himself in the nature of water. That is revelation of him. But when he wants to manifest, he doesn't manifest as just one expression of a river. He manifests himself beyond just one expression of a river. That is why the Bible said, out of thy belly shall flow rivers. The source is what? One. What is the source? Living water. But when it is flowing, it flows as what? Rivers. Because this is how the Holy Spirit is. When he begins to go out to make impact, he goes out as an impact of rivers, not a living water alone. But when he is in you, as the point of source, it's just a living water. So this river flow from Eden as one source of water, but in the point of impact, it was had more than what? One streams. Are we all on the same page now? Now, let's look at this. The expression of the Holy Spirit. Now, the expression of the Holy Spirit can be seen in scriptures as seven distinctive but four major expressions, like the river flowing from the Garden of Eden, cutting into what? Four. An example of the revelation of the Spirit is the seven Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit revealing himself in seven personal ways. You see, the Holy Spirit has been trying to talk to humanity that when I come and I want to manifest myself, I have more than just one way by which you can encounter me. And one of the representation is the seven Spirit of God. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 said, give me, I don't want to paraphrase, but I said, there shall be a root from what? Jesse, help me. And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, verse 2. The Spirit, now count with me, okay? Now look at the comma. Count and also count the comma with me, okay? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That is number one, right? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. That is three, right? But you see where the comma is. The Spirit of counsel and might. That makes it what? Five. But you see another comma. Now, I know most of you have done what we call mathematics. Is that not it? And the concept or the word end stands for what? Intercession. The last one. The Spirit of knowledge and of what? The fear of the Lord. So, you see that the Spirit of the Lord that is coming has now parted into what? Seven. Which is the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now, watch where the comma is. Though it is seven distinctive personality character, you find out that their manifestation are in twin nature. So, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, comma, is that Spirit that produces light, revelation. That is one of the rivers. Now, when we get to the concept of the river, which I'll talk about next week, you understand why we have the seven in four or four in seven dimensions of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? Go. Now, number two, you see that the Spirit of counsel and might is the Spirit responsible for the tangible manifestation of God's power. Now, the fear of the Lord and the knowledge is what produce purity. And the Lord brings the dominion. Are we all there? So you see that the Holy Spirit has always speak about himself in how his manifestation can be traced. I'm leading this to connect to the anointing, so follow me. For the people, see, when God wanted to help the people of Israel to understand this concept very well, there was a symbol of a representation of the flow of the Holy Spirit among them called the menorah. Have you heard of the menorah? Have you heard of the menorah? Can you get me the picture of the menorah? If you can. Now let's read the book of Exodus chapter 25 verse 3. Exodus chapter 25 verse 3. Now, among the things that were vessels in the tabernacle that God instructed the people of Israel to have was one called the menorah. Now, listen to us. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze. That's it. Exodus chapter 25 verse 31. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work. Its branches, its bowls, its ornament knobs, and flowers shall be of one piece. So the lampstand, which was standing for the presence of the Holy Spirit in the tabernacle, was made or carved into branches. And we call it the menorah. Most of you put it on as a chain, and I've seen some people, but the menorah. It was the representation of the Holy Spirit as one source, but dividing into what? Seven. Now, I could see the picture of the menorah. I don't know if they could help me with it. You see that they are connected together. That's three year. And you see that they are connected, one, two, and three, and then one standing in between. Standing for the four rivers flowing from the Garden of Eden. So the nature of the Holy Spirit, as I told you, that the Godhead likes to manifest themselves in types and what? And in forms. The nature of the Holy Spirit in manifestation is that he may reveal himself to you as one source, but when he's manifesting, he goes beyond that. That is why we want to look at the streams of the anointing. So now, therefore, what is the streams of the anointing? Listen. All these things I've said, all this stress I've gone through right now to try to establish some revelation is to help you to understand the streams of the anointing. First of all, that it is in the nature of the Godhead to manifest themselves in types and forms to help communicate their personality to us. Secondly, the Holy Spirit as a Godhead has a way of manifesting himself as a river or water. Third, when he manifests himself as a river, what is related to that manifestation is that he appears as one source, but in manifestation or impact, he can go in what? Four different distinct ways. As what? Four major streams. And we have a representation in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2, and a representation in Ezekiel chapter 47. Are we all there? We all get it. Then I came down to explain to you that because this representation is very important to the communication of the impact or the work of the Holy Spirit among the people of God in the Old Testament, the object stand, which is the lampstand called menorah, for the Holy Spirit, was designed such a way that it represents this idea of the Holy Spirit flowing as a river. Now, you've seen it. Now, you see this one standing here. It's the source. Have you seen the source? Now, you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Look at it down here. You see it is connected. The second one is also connected. And the third one is also what? Connected. So the seven, or the four in seven, or seven in four principle of the Holy Spirit. But you notice that it is just one metal converted into that. That is the Holy Spirit. Are we there? Therefore, what is the streams of the anointing? Streams of the anointing, therefore, refers to the different manifestation. Take note. Or expression of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in the lives of believers and the church. This topic I'm about to talk about, although, see, the thing is, we are fortunate to have a father figure who is a great teacher of the word. So there are many of the things that we have come to know and we are being blessed, but I tell you, there are a lot of people who have no knowledge about this. And many Christians are being shorthanded in the deliveries of their kingdom assignment because some of these things are not well organized to their understanding. So the strength of the anointing is the different manifestations or expressions of the Holy Spirit's power. The underlying word is what? Power. So when the power of God
comes as one source, from one source, from the Holy Spirit. It has many manifestations, or it has different manifestations. But these manifestations are grouped into streams. And the streams are what we call the tributaries. So you don't sit down and think that the only expressions of the anointing is to prophesy. You can see that stream, but to your surprise, there can be a manifestation of the anointing that is only for sweeping. You don't know. We're going to see it. That's why we're going to spend time here. So that you know that there is nothing anybody can do in the kingdom of God outside anointing. There is no tax. The reason why we depend on him, the reason why the Holy Ghost came on us, the reason why power is made available is because there is nothing that can be done in this kingdom outside of the power of God. You can't. So do not define and confine the Holy Spirit to just the little that you know. There are many tributes of the Holy Spirit. You don't know it. So as we journey in this lesson of the streams of the anointing, all we want to do is to establish how the power of God can divert and manifest in different forms in accomplishing the purposes of what? The kingdom. Now, if we read the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 14 downwards, you find out that the river was meant to what? Water the whole world or the whole earth. Can we continue? Now, the reason why we're having issues or struggling to establish some kind of understanding concerning the streams of the anointing is because clarity has not been given to some concept that operates under the anointing. Now, there are three major concepts in the Bible that operate under the anointing. First one is gifts. The second one is ministry. And the third one is office. Now, you will find out that most times we struggle to establish the distinct operations of the Holy Spirit or the anointing with regards to these three dimensions. And this is where the struggle of the streams of the anointing is. To some of us, we think that the apostolic or the offices are one stream of the anointing. Is that not so? We think that the ministry is also, we don't even know the difference between ministry and then office. Yes. If you take an average believer and you ask an average believer to differentiate between ministry and office, that will be one of the difficult exams they'll write in their life. But we claim we are into ministry. And we claim that we have offices in the church. And that's why we are confused with the anointing. So if somebody does not do this, do you know how, even now, do you know why we see certain operations in the body of Christ as better than others? Now, all pastors are forced to prophesy. Because if you don't prophesy, the anointing is not on your life. All pastors are forced to be workers of miracles. Because if you don't perform miracle, you see, that is why some of you will struggle to go to, I want you, let me straight away. Some of you, it is some a common knowledge, will struggle to go to Methodist or Presby or Roman Catholic. Why? To you, you think that the priest in the castle cover is not anointed. But one of the best messages you can receive when we talk of people with the teaching anointing, they carry it. You don't know. Because there's confusion between gifts, ministry, and office, we have decided to define those who are anointed and those who are not anointed. So as you sit here, you yourself, you say you are not anointed because you have not seen what people are calling the anointing on your life. But by the grace of God, by the time we are through with the streams of the anointing, you will know that you are also anointed. As long as you are doing something in this kingdom, fulfilling assignment, you can only do so. See, the impact of your assignment, if you're making impact, is because there's an anointing. Nobody can achieve impact in this kingdom without an anointing. Hallelujah. So now, let's settle the controversy so that we can be able to see what the strength of the anointing is and how to relate with it. That's what I'm going to do today. Then we move on. We will come and talk about them. There are seven major streams of the anointing. I've already mentioned some of them. As along this teaching, I'm going to mention some. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Now let's look at it. Number one, let's define them first. Even before I define, let me say this to you. The truth of the matter is that the streams of the anointing is more related to ministry than office. And I'm going to prove it to you. That when we talk about streams, the various manifestations of the Spirit of God in as the power of God is more relatable to the ministry than offices. Now let's look at some definitions. We already know. Let me start with anointing. We already know. What is the definition of anointing? It's the presence and power of what? The Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. It. So we call the anointing that divine energy which empowers the believer for all kinds of what? Services. It's just like the electricity. When the electricity is working, as you can see in this room right now, we have different kinds of what? Gadgets over here operating under one source, which is called electricity. That is how the Holy Spirit is. When he manifests in his power, which is the anointing, every gadget who gets contact to it will reveal their true character and nature. Are we there? So we all know and agree that that's what anointing is. Now, what is a gift? Gift is an endowment which could be natural or spiritual. One character of a gift is that we don't work for gifts. What are natural gifts? We call them talents. Are you talented? You see, the truth of the matter, everybody has a talent. Oh, yeah. It's natural. God gave it to you. It's talent. Some people are good talkers. It's their talent. Now, these are people that if they don't find good use of their talent, their profession becomes a concern. Because their talent must work. So, they must gossip. They need to talk. They need to say something. They must. Now, if you find out that you have that natural talent, may God help you. Hallelujah. It is for kingdom assignment. You must find expression in that place. Now we have that we call spiritual endowment gifts. As listed in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The nine gifts of the Spirit grouped into three. Revelatory, power gift, and what? Yes, we have done this. We have the revelatory gift. We have the power gift. The vocal gift. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, it's the gift, that endowment, and that God has given to you. They, as I mentioned the other time, are connected to your eternal destiny. They are without repentance. It cannot be taken back from you. So, you see, there are people, when you meet them, let me talk about some of the natural talents. We can talk about somebody like Mercy. I like that man a lot. You see, we all say that Messi is a natural-born footballer. Ronaldo is what? A trade or a hard work. Is that all we say? Because what it caused Messi to become what it is, Ronaldo did three times of that. Now, there's this young guy in Barca who is trying to... Another Messi is born in Barcelona. There's the way they call the names, others say Yamin Yama. It's not Yamin Yama. It's Lamin Yama. And how this boy is disciplining his fathers on the field. You either foul him or he's going to score him. Now, if you put him, you could say his colleagues, they are struggling to be like him. That's natural. Now, all these things are designed in the person to fulfill the destiny ordination. Now, when you become born again, you dedicate it to God and then the anointing will fall on it. In addition to your spiritual heart, endowment, and then you use it to serve God's purposes. Are you there? Now, let's move on. Concept of gift is that it must be discovered, developed, and deployed. Guys, we'll look at that as another thing, but I just want to help you have understanding of these things. Now, the second thing which is very important to me is ministry. The word ministry simply means service.
Service.
So what we say, your ministry is your area of what? Service. Please stop defining service or ministry to just church. The problem with our dealings with the Christians is how we have confined everything to church. Ministry is what? Service. Wherever you are rendering service, you are in ministry. That is why the Bible always entreats us that we should render service as unto what? Unto God. So if you think that what you are doing in the office is different from, no, it's also ministry. As long as you are rendering service, you are in ministry. So we have to understand that ministry can have corporate expression and also have expression in the body of Christ. And we must learn to develop all. Even as your pastor, I do render ministry in the corporate service, in the corporate area, beyond my full-time work I'm doing here. I use the giftings of God. Now let me go there. Now, that means the scope within which your gift and endowment can operate. So, ministry simply means that your giftings, endowment, which is the talent and the spiritual things that God has given you, the scope by which it can operate is called ministry. I always use Prophet Jericho to give an example. We all know him as a prophet, but he's a lawyer. Do you understand? Do you know that by the endowment he has received as a lawyer operating there, he has natural endowment and spiritual endowment to operate over there. Which means that when it comes to certain things that are spiritual, he can, by divine instruction, use it to solve issues in his corporate office. Don't you do that? How's awful? Is it everybody that you give physical medicine to? He said no. By his thought, a nurse. He's a nurse. But when he gets to a point, he would deploy his spiritual to what? Meet the services of what? People. So client come to you, they have issues, but you are able to deploy both your natural endowment and spiritual endowment to what? Render service to them. It's ministry. We are raising a generation of Christians who think that our behavior outside church is different from our behavior in church. If your giftings, your spiritual endowment and physical endowment are not reflect in your corporate service, you are deceiving yourself. You are a hypocrite. When you serve people, do you serve them as you serve the Lord? And you know that even this place requires anointing. It doesn't require anointing. Why do people in your office go for power? Did you? It is only you think that you don't need spiritual powers to do what you are doing in your corporate world. If you think, I'm not going to ask Prophet Jericho, if he's there with clear eyes, if he doesn't fast and pray, you will see what they'll do to him. You don't know. You think that people who are in big closer to them, people are occupying executive positions. I'm not even going too far. Even government offices, they are trying to, somebody's trying to take your place. So, every ministry service requires anointing. Either you do demonic anointing or God's own. You can never climb that. You can never make impact without an empowerment. So, that is ministry. Today, I've helped you to define what ministry simply means. What? The scope by which your endowment, both physical and spiritual, operates and render service to people, to God. Are we there? So every human being must be oriented to what? Render service. We are interdependent on each other. Nobody has it all. There is something I need from you, and there's something you also need from me. Everybody has ministry. Let me move on. Now, office. An office is a calling. It is a governmental position in the kingdom. Look at the difference. Office is a governmental position. Do you know that we are all serving in this country? Don't you render service in the country? Don't you? But we have people who operate in a position. The minister operates in an office. but he has a ministry. There's a service is also what rendering, but he has another thing addition to call what office position. So there are people in the kingdom that God has given them a governmental position, a position in addition to their services they are rendering. That in that capacity, they can provide certain oversight aside rendering services to God and to people. That is an office. Now, the concept of office can be defined in the church in twofold. Number one, we have the concept of office as of the fivefold ministry. This is also called the leadership of the organism. That is the body of Christ. They are the apostles, the prophet, evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor. This is one dimension of what? Office, which is the leadership of what? The organism. And there's another dimension of office in the kingdom, which we call the administrative or organizational leadership, who are the people we call elders. So if you enter a church, there are people who are elders as a position, called and chosen to be elders. And then we have those who are also operating as what? The fivefold ministry. The person can have both. But others can also have it differently. Now let's look at the book of Acts chapter 14 verse 23. Elders. So the elders are positioned. Now if you come to our ministry, for instance, we have them. We have elders of this ministry. We give them titles as pastors, apostles, bishop. You know those titles. Those titles, some do correlate to the fivefold calling, but in more definition, they are organizational leadership. It's an office. Let's read. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had what? Belief. This was Paul and his friend. Now, in Acts chapter 15, verse 4, you find out that even the headquarters of the church, Jerusalem, they were apostles and elders. Let's read. Who were taking decisions on behalf of the church. Now, Acts chapter 15, verse 4. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the what? Together and the what? Elders. And they reported all things that God has done with what? With them. So elders are also established organizational leaders in the church for organizational purposes. And then we have the fivefold for the organism what? Work. It's a position. It's not a service. Now let's look at something quiet. The confusion has always been between the ministry and the office. Now let me settle that, and then we will see how the streams of the anointing work. Number one, in the matter of calling, all believers are called into ministry. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. If we want to define and draw the line between ministry and office, number one, on the concept of calling, all believers are called into what? Ministry. Into what? Service. He called them that they might be with him, that he may what? Send them. Now listen to what Peter said to the church. As each one has received a gift, have you seen it? Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the essence of gift is for ministry. So if you are gifted and you are not using it, that is an abuse. And if you are not using it in relation to the ministry, the assignment God has given you, it's also an abuse. So by calling, that's why Paul said we should all desire spiritual gifts. Because we all have ministry to attend to. We all have services we have to render. So as the gift of God has come upon all of us, we must minister, serve one another. But with regards to the office, some are called, not all believers are called into office. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, he said, he gave some to be what? So not all will be called into office. Are we all leaders in the church? Oh, church, are we all leaders in the church? Good. So we are all called into ministry. Some are called into what? Office. So every believer has a ministry. But not all believers are called into office. Number two. By function, ministry is an act of you functioning in the body of Christ, which is what you do. So ministry simply is what you ought. You do. What do you do? It's your ministry. But with office, it's a matter of what? Position. Where you stand. Office is a matter of what? Position. Where you ought, you stand. But ministry is a matter of what? Functioning. So we function as in the body of Christ, an organism. So you see that if you, that's what the Bible said, that if the eye said, I will not see again, the whole body will be affected. You understand? Because we all function. That is ministry. That's why when you are in a church and you don't render service in that church, you will see that the church will suffer. Because as organism, we are all to function. But as office, your position is determined where you are. And that one is determined by God, not by you. So you cannot decide to become an apostle. That's what Paul said, an apostle. Not by what? Christ. Galatians chapter 1 verse 1. I cannot decide what I want to be. We can all choose, like we all choose to be something. Did prophet decide to become a prophet? No. It is by the design and the will of God. By positioning. Functioning, we are all serving. Do we all get it now? Okay. Then the last one, which is the anointing. The effect of the anointing on our ministry is to help us serve effectively with our gifts in our kingdom assignment. So when the anointing comes, see, the anointing, as I said, the anointing comes on both ministry and office. When the anointing comes on you in terms of service ministry, is to help you to be effective in the deliveries of the kingdom assignment given to you. So the effect on your gifts and the kingdom assignment is what anointing does to your ministry. But the effect of the anointing on office holders is to establish the authority to govern and to exercise oversight. So when somebody is called to be an elder and is anointed, that anointing is just an authority. It's a sign of authority. That is why you see that very spiritual people, when they want to anoint people into office, they want to consecrate somebody into, let's say, an apostleship or the fivefold ministry, they use a horn. How many of you noticed that? Have you seen that before? It is to explain to you that this oil, the anointing of God that comes upon him, is to establish authority. That's all. But there's already the flow of the anointing in deliveries of what? His kingdom assignment. But with office is to establish his authority to what? Exercise oversight. That is why you see that they anoint the people with what? A horn. That is God said, I shall exalt his horn like that of a unicorn, was to talk about the extent to which his authority will operate. He said, David have I found with my holy oil. That was an anointing to office. He said, and I shall exalt his horn like that of a unicorn. So when we say that anointing has come on somebody and somebody's operating an anointing, it's not only in the place of authority. It also talks about your effectiveness in the deliveries of kingdom assignments and the use of the gifts. The difference between the sharpness of a gift is an anointing. That's why the same prophet, some can be deeper than others. The anointing. Do you know that there's a prophet who may not use word of knowledge and everything, but he will call you and pray for you, say a prophetic word, and that vow, it is done. Typical example, Pastor Collins, that's authority. I may call you and give you details and say things, but daddy will call you, he may not say any detail, he will just speak a word by revelation, and that is all. Difference between authority and what? An anointing. Are we all there? So now, have you seen the difference now? So now the strength of the anointing is not about establishing authority, or establishing effectiveness. It is talking about how the effect of it. Are we all there? Now, follow me very well. Since kingdom assignment is not a matter of authority, but it's a matter of service. Now, follow me. One of the core assignments God has given us all as believers is to make disciples, true of us. Good. Now, making disciples comes with more than one coordinated act or activity. That requires different manifestation of the anointing to execute it. The reason why I said that the strength of the anointing is more connected to ministry than office is this. The ministry, let me put this way. Somebody who enters into an office is already operating what? A ministry. Let's already establish that. There is no way you operate in an office without not having a ministry. So the ministry is the kingdom assignment you are supposed to fulfill. Now, you will find out that in every kingdom assignment that you are tasked to do are coordinated activities that requires different levels of what? Anointing, manifestation of the anointing to get it done. So when you take, for example, discipling somebody, which is a kingdom assignment, it comes along with coordinated activities, different kinds of tasks, which requires what? Different manifestations of what? The anointing. Thus, the success of these tasks are connected to tributaries, which flows into what? The streams of the anointing and flows into the main source of the whole anointing, is the Holy Spirit. What am I trying to say? That is why you can see at a given instance, an individual will stand here, preach under the same anointing, minister healing under the same anointing, conduct deliverance under the same anointing, and at the same point too, and by the close of the day, may end up prophesying. Have you seen some before? Are they the same tax? Church, are they the same tax? Are they the same tax? So it tells you that ministry rather provokes the streams of the anointing to flow. And ministry is what? Service. So when God gives you a service and assignment, there are coordinated tasks that will help you in accomplish it. And those coordinated tasks are connected to different flows of the anointing, which could be different streams. So a person will stand here, and the job or the assignment God has given that person is that go and take the land of what? Cape Coast. That will come with coordinated tasks, different from each other, and will attract different sort of anointing. So you see, the person at a given time will be ministering healing. That does not make him an office holder. That person can prophesy. That does not make him what? A prophet. Now, it is the strings of what? The anointing. Are you following me now? This is why the concept of the stream of the anointing is very important. Because as long as you are tasked to perform a kingdom assignment, that assignment will attract different kinds of activities. But those activities will require different manifestations of what? The anointing. That is why the Bible never said, out of their belly shall flow river of living water. It said, out of their belly shall flow what? Streams of what? Living water. I pray for you. The reason why we are not seeing the impact of your work in the kingdom is because you think that you cannot also prophesy. Who told you? If the assignment that God has given you requires that prophecy will be needed to accomplish it, it is just you yield, and the Spirit of God will flow through you. You think you cannot conduct deliverance? It's a lie. Unless that assignment does not coordinate to it. Remember, I've been saying that I went to a place for a crusade, and I saw miracles that I've never seen before. Why? Because the assignment was that I should go there on a Monday to reach out to the town. And in that reach out, there was a demand that deliverance would take place. And because it is extreme, it operated. Do you know? I keep saying this, that I'm not a teacher by calling. Hello? My brother was saying that it seems you are becoming more of a pastor. I said, it's because of the assignment. I'm not a pastor by calling. No. I'm in an office. It is because of the job that assignment God has given me. To you, some of you, I look like a teacher. My own is to prophesy. I am a prophet by calling. But the assignment demands that at a given time, I should teach. Build the people on precept. at a given time, I must be a shepherd. Help them, exhort them. At a given time, I must be able to what? Help them break out of demonic circles. So there's a time that God can use me to deliverance, healing, everything. That does not make me somebody who operates in that office. As I said, the controversy of the streams of the anointing is because of the orientation we have. So today, allow that streams of rivers. Oh, I said, allow that streams of rivers flow. Some of you have sitted, you have blocked, you have used block, concrete, the MP to block some of the streams. Oh, ask for me. All that. No. Who told you? Understand your assignment and allow the Holy Spirit to flow in the streams. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you on the same page now? Now, so, therefore, John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39 said, let that believe in me, out of their belly shall flow out streams. 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 He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of what? Living water. It doesn't matter. It's a corporate work you are doing. It is God who has sent you there. See everywhere you are as a place God has sent you. And allow. See, some of you think that you cannot operate in some high level of intelligence. I tell you, when you understand this thing that I'm teaching you today and you begin to yield, you will notice that the Holy Spirit can use you to do anything he wants to do at a given instant. If you understand what I'm saying. Yes. That's a good idea. I didn't mean to. It's not true. If it's the one who has sent you, if it's the one who has what? Look at everybody God called and sent. As long as, you see, that is why Joshua said to the people, yes, if they look like, what was the name they used? That's hopeless, right? Before them. But the Lord is what? It's with us. There's no mountain that is above you. If the assignment is that that mountain will come down, it will come down. Hallelujah. So your office is your position, but your ministry is the service you are rendering. And when it comes to service, there are streams of the anointing that flows in accomplishing that service. Do you know what it takes to raise a disciple? It comes with preaching, teaching, deliverance, healing, everything some. Before one person is molded into a disciple. And you think, let me tell you, go and make disciples, not to me. You answer to that. God will ask you one day, where is your disciple? Hallelujah. So quickly, the reason why we are planted by rivers is for rivers to flow out of us. Now take me to the book of Psalms, the chapter 1, verse 3. It said, he shall be like a tree planted at where? Did he say river? Rivers! Because God wants us to flow, or rivers to flow out of us, streams, we are planted at what? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Rivers of what? So that that river will flow through you. Do you know that the water content of a plant is connected to the water? It is the river side or where it draws the water from. Do you understand? So if the water there is fresh, the plants will really benefit. So if you are planted by rivers, it means that all those rivers will come through you. Now what the Bible said? It said, that brings forth its what? Fruit. And it, in its season, whose leaves shall not what? Wither. Leaves stands for activities, gifts, activities that the believer engage in. And fruit stands for the manifestation. Can never be manifestation or the outflow of God's impact when there are no rivers flowing out of you. One stream cannot accomplish the job. One stream cannot. That is why we have to desire. That's why we have to desire that the streams will flow through us. And as we look at the various streams, I pray that you'll be very interested in the flow of all those streams. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Quickly, let me talk about this and then we will wrap up. The essence of the streams of the anointing. Number one. I'll give only two. Then we wrap up today. So, if I want to take you from where we started, all I have been saying to you is that it is the nature of the Godhead to manifest themselves in types and forms. The Holy Spirit takes interest to show forth himself as a river. But when he shows himself forth as a river, in his continuous manifestation, he divides into many. He passes into four. And I gave you a representation in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2 and in Ezekiel chapter 47. Then I continue to tell you that this thing is a reality that God wants you to live with us, such that in the Old Testament, the lampstand that stands for the presence of the Holy Spirit was designed to reflect these very manifestations of the Spirit. And I said that this manifestation also do not only live with the personality of him, but in the case of the anointing, we see this. That is the streams of what? The anointing. And I gave you the definition of the streams of the anointing. Then we came to the point why we are struggling to relate with the streams of anointing as a result of poor definition and clarity, certain concepts in the kingdom. Are we all there? And now we have been able to see the clarity. Now, having come to the clarity, we have seen that the anointing or the streams of the anointing is more desirable when we are in the ministry or functioning. Do you get it? And that we found out that for us to be able to accomplish an assignment, it requires beyond just one stream of what? The anointing. So the Bible said, out of our belly shall flow streams, is because the assignment that we are called to cannot be accomplished by just one stream. So it is you who have to yield, and that the Spirit of God will flow in all capacity in you. Hallelujah. Now, quickly, let's wrap up. What is the essence? Number one. One essence on the knowledge of the Spirit anointing is to help us not to limit the extent to which the Holy Spirit wants to flow through us in diverse manner. Do you know that the Spirit is subjected to the prophet? Have you heard that scripture? Have you heard of that scripture? So the subject matter here is talking about the extent to which the one whom the Spirit resides in is willing to allow the Holy Spirit to flow. Now, when we understand the concept of the streams of the anointing, we will find out that we will not place a limit on the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit wants to express himself in deliverance, you will not limit him and say that, as for me, I only sing. As for me, I only teach. So, Spirit of God, there cannot be deliverance today. Whereas there is somebody there who the Spirit, and the thing is that God can only minister to us, humanity, through another person. And God only used somebody to reach you. So, whilst it is the time to be used to reach somebody, because you don't understand that there are streams that can flow from you, you say, oh, Holy Ghost, ask for me, I teach. Healing, lie. So you see, people will come to church and they will go back the same, because people refuse to yield for the anointing to flow in diverse manner and bless them. The Bible says, when you come, some of you have hymns, some of you have psalms. How many of you have come and you see that the Spirit of God? So now you see our church, all we do is that when we come, we want pastor to talk, then we give offering, then we go back. Because we don't believe that when we come today, the Holy Spirit can use us to release something. Do you know that just standing up to pray, worship, a virtue can go out of you as a stream to reach somebody? Or you think that all healing must be laying of hands? Do you remember the woman who got her healing from the blood, just holding the hem? Do you know somebody can just touch you and a virtue can go out of you? Because you are available. How many times have we been in church and we have blocked many streams? That you see, sometimes when we are done with prayers and we said, has anybody seen something? Then people will wire their mind and say, me, the Holy Spirit cannot reveal anything to me. There are prophets in the church. Elvis will see everything. Oh, today, prophet has come to church. Don't worry.
Whatever I'm seeing is not true. He's the only one who can see it. But when we understand the strength of the anointing, we find out that the word of God can come to you. Imagine Samuel saying that, as for me, I was brought here to come and help. I'm not a prophet. I'm not Eli. So Eli is the only one God will speak to. Do you know that the nation's prophecy would have lost? Imagine. Allow the Spirit of God to use you. Allow Him to use you. Allow Him to use you. You said you want to work for God, but you are blocking the stream. So how can God use you? You have decided how to be available, when to be available, and where to be available. Allow. You see, you think you're not anointed. It's because you have blocked it. From today, tell God, anything you want to do, anything you want to use me for, any assignment that you have given me, all the streams, let them flow. Let them flow. Let them flow. Go and yield. See, in prayer, allow the Holy Spirit to flow. Some of you, when you come to church now, we should sit by you, and by the time we are leaving, we are catching some fire. We should live with healing and deliverance. Some of you at Bible studies, the contributions you should give should be able to inspire and release light, revelation to us. Stop denying us what God wants you. Said, as each of you have received gifts, minister to one another as the manifold grace. You are denying us. We will ask you very soon. Stop it. That's why you come to church unprepared. The only preparation you do is to bat iron your clothes. You don't spiritual preparation. Because pastor, don't worry. But remember what happened last year. Even that one, I gave you an announcement that you're going to preach. One day when the Holy Ghost come on me, I'll just come here, look into the crowd, and prophet of God, as led by the Spirit, I'll call somebody, come and give us a sermon. You want to dare me? It can be possible next week. Me, myself, I want a break. Don't let me start with you. Since you don't want to allow the Holy Spirit to flow, we will force the flow. The concrete that you have used to block our blessing, you will break out. Don't change your... Don't look at me that way. All I'm trying to tell you, that allow the Holy Spirit to flow. Streams. Streams of living waters. Water the nation. See, you don't know. There are solutions. The problem in the church, there are many problems that God wants to use the believer to solve, but we have oriented ourselves. That's why we have limited the Holy Ghost to tongue speaking. You are in the office. There is no way they can count on you that when it comes to this thing, let's go and talk to this person. What is the essence of the Holy Spirit on you? Your classmates, when they have assignment, they can't call you. Hey! When they are doing group studies and they are looking for people who can be contributing, they can't count you. This is the time you have to go and fast and pray. Today, I pray for you. Let the streams of living waters flow out of you. In the mighty name of Jesus. So, there is a way that we have to accept that there are diverse manner that the Holy Spirit cannot work through us. Diverse manner. Secondly, the balance of diversity and unity in the body. One of the fights that we are fighting now in the church is because we think that the Holy Spirit is just like this. This person is wrong. So, we fight anything which does not look like the one we know. Do you know what Kenneth Hagin went through? During their time, they don't believe in tongue speaking. They don't believe in divine healing. So, that is the kind of things their generation they faced. Now, it is gradually creeping into the church. Well, we are trying to block certain things. There is a church that I agree with that we used to believe in Mema Mema. Now, it is practically off. Because they are trying to block it because they want to define it as a way it should operate. So the individual do not yield anymore. But it was a common thing. We know that this Sunday, no matter what, we will hear Mema Mema. I mean the gift of prophecy. Hallelujah. But now the diversity in the church is blocked.
Now it is one man show. Pastor comes, perform, we clap, we go home. But there are diversities. So one of the reasons why we have to study the streams of life is so that there could be diversities. We could allow the flow. Not all prophets will have word of knowledge. Even yes, we have to allow it. There are some churches, they don't believe in certain things. In fact, they don't even believe in the Holy Ghost in the first place. They don't believe in the tongue speaking. They tell that tongue speaking was for them. So you see that the church is crippled because there are many things that we are trying to use logic. Logic. Oh, but this one, no, but this one. Do you know that now we are so becoming the way that even preaching, we don't rely on the Holy Spirit anymore. We want to do it ourselves. We are blocking many streams in the church. So now if you are a worship leader, the concentration is on your vocal voices. That's why now if you don't have a good instrumentation and everything, we will not come to your church. Because we believe that that is where the Holy Ghost will. Hallelujah. We need to understand the streams of the anointing. That the streams of the anointing is to help us fulfill assignment and mandate. But when it comes to the anointing on the offices, is to establish our authority. I pray for you. Every block channel in your spirit, as by the leadings of the minister, do Sinoinken, say, let the channels of my spirit open up. I lift up a prayer for you right now. Every channels of your spirit that has been blocked. Ha, kumbrane masuta kaya. O vele mande vasata. O resanda kundi lava kabaya. There are some of you, there are certain gifts and operations you used to operate in. It's not working anymore. Anything that has broke that channel, that stream, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let that channels be opened up in the name of Jesus. Let channels be opened now in the name of Jesus. Let the streams of rivers begin to flow. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Let it begin to flow. Every channel of healing and deliverance, channel of healing that brings deliverance, that brings healing that God has set in you, I declare in the name of Jesus, let that channel open right now. Every divine oppressions that is upon your life, you have not given attention to, pray that the Holy Spirit will begin to open up and turn your attention to it in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. You shall be like Eden, that out of you rivers shall flow. Out of that river, some will flow with God. I declare in the name of Jesus that wherever you go, you will be a holistic impact in the name of Jesus. It shall be said that you turn cities upside down and complete 360 turnover because the streams of rivers are flowing in the name of Jesus. Right to your feet.
Mandevrebasaya. Oh, let no more kobo shatter. Will you lift up your voice and begin to pray? Oh, mandila babasa. Say, channels of my spirit open up. Oh, let the deep call unto thee. Channels of my spirit. Every channel. Mandela babasa. Is the same spirit that manifests all the flows. If the Holy Ghost can heal the sick and he lives in me, let that channel be released. If the Holy Ghost can raise the dead and he's living in me, let that channel of the anointing be opened. If the Holy Ghost can make man prosperous through the directions and wisdom, then let that channel of financial breakthrough, that channel of financial lifting, let it be open up. Open up, open up. May I be a man that brings forth rivers, not just a river. May I impact my generation with rivers. Oh, the living water manifesting as rivers. Shalama kapado shende. Horabele mataya. Mandila vabra sanda konde lebesaya. Lorande nimo sanda balabasaya. Orandi la kabande sande nene mesone. Oh, rasanda bakaya. Shandele Mekovele Badaya.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.